Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, the Election Eve edition. And Dom, we are stacking the deck. It is a stack show, buddy.
It is, Crudy. Happy Election Eve to you, Evan, on the board, our fair audience. I am so excited. And yes, it is a stack deck both today and, of course, tomorrow with our special coverage on top of all the other great radio.
The specialist of all the coverages all across the world. It's happening right here. Also, big rally happening right now. Sean M. O'Brien and many other guest speakers rallying at the steps of the Wisconsin State Capitol. Teamsters rally, Wisconsin workers' rights. Power rally, baby. Teamsters general president rallying the troops right now, Dom. Mostly the blue troops, I think. But our big show, if you're listening, if you're heading that way, here's who we got. We got 5th Congressional District, great state of Wisconsin, Mike Van Sommeren. He's returning to the show. Former Badger, did I mention that? Also, our own Civic Media's own Earl Ingram. He is the morning host, 8 to 11, 5:40 a.m. Get up for him. Set your alarm. You can listen to him on the Civic Media app wherever you go. And right here on the Devil's Advocates, about 4:30 today. And then Dom, Alan Minsky, a new friend of mine. And we're going to bring him on the show today. He's going to make a plea. Get out and vote.
Get out and vote, people.
But he's going to make a plea. I think sometimes our liberal friends, our progressive friends, Dom, you know, they get taken for granted, but still need their votes. So Alan Minsky, Progressive Dems of America Executive Director, he's at 4:50 today, Dom. And then one of our favorite guests, and, you know, she doesn't come around frequently enough, but when she does, it's always a treat. U.S. Rep. Gwen Moore.
My congresswoman. I cannot wait.
In the 5 o'clock, happier.
Oh, man, of course, you, our fair audience as well. I mean, what a show. You're welcome already.
Dominic, I understand the former president, Barack Obama, has been putting on a show.
Oh, man.
Now, when we last saw Gwen Moore, she was at North Division High School in Milwaukee, where she declared herself Madam President, because she apparently had been the student body president of North Division High School. And, you know, much like Obama, once a president, always a president. But President Obama has been out there. He's been rallying the troops. Dom, you know, the Democrats, the late news, if you believe the polling, I don't know if you can, but if you do, everyone should be very pessimistic, because apparently, you know, the red wave talk is back on. Although last I saw, nationally, congressional race is a coin flip. But the races in so many states are so gerrymandered. If it's not like Democrats plus 8, it's probably going to be to the Republicans' advantage. So anyways, some are being pessimistic. We've got plenty of room, plenty of reason for optimism. I've heard lots of optimistic opinions, Dom. And I'm encouraging everyone, go vote.
Go vote.
The early votes here have exceeded the 2018 early votes.
Are you pessimistic?
Do you really want to know?
Yes, I really want to know.
Ah, buddy. You don't want to know.
I do want to know. Everybody wants to know. I want to know. Come on. Tell me, man.
I encourage you all to vote, because it's very...
I am optimistic. I am optimistic.
That is excellent that you suddenly stop being the bubble burster that I've known all my life. And in this one rare circumstance, I am the, you know, the the buzz harsher.
Well, listen, I mean, it depends on how you look at it, right? I mean, as you know, historically speaking, of course, the midterms for Dems with the Democratic president never really too good, right? So, you know, anything above a wipeout could be considered a victory. But I just think, given the numbers of early voting,
a wipeout, you know, here's
because of course they're always expected to. The fact that the Republicans are doing so poorly that there's even a chance goes to show you. And I think there could be a lot of newly registered, engaged voters because of how bad the Republicans are. And I look forward to Madison turning out over turnout in Madison. Thank you very much. And I rely on the younger folks to get their asses out as well. We appreciate that.
Well,
if that happens, we'll be just fine.
Dominic, here's a possible reason for optimism. The Badgers. The Badgers have found their stride as a football team. They played on Saturday. They look damn good. I mean, that was a crazy, weathery, blustery mix. And they beat Maryland, who came in probably as the favorite team. I didn't actually, you know, I haven't been betting the home teams lately. Doesn't seem like such a good bet.
I can't believe we didn't talk yesterday.
But, Dominic, the fact that the Green Bay Packers enter Election Day on a five-game losing streak, and it's crowned with a loss to the horrible Detroit Lions, man. I mean, nothing is more humiliating. I cannot remember when's the last time they beat us, like when we were in college, when Barry Sanders was on the team.
Barry Sanders.
I mean, literally.
Just for the record, those terrible Lions are only one game behind your Packers right now, man.
Well, that's the saddest part, Tom. I mean, it's upturned my whole life as a Packer fan. Now, I remember. I'm old enough. Some of the young kids out there, they don't remember when the Packers sucked. But I remember. I remember before Don Majkowski and Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we've been so spoiled, Don. But the last time the Packers had a bad year, 2018, and the incumbent governor got thrown out on his ass. Now, it was deserved. But you ask me, how am I feeling?
Yeah.
I'm feeling a little pessimistic.
Is that because my Lions whooped up on
yes!
the Packers? Or is
in
it
no
because
small part.
There's an
in
election no... tomorrow and you're concerned about the outcome?
Well, I'm concerned about the outcome of the election because of the outcome of the Packer game against the Detroit Lions. What have I always said? If the Packers have a god-awful season, the incumbents are going to get punished. And because in the state of Wisconsin, it feels like right track, wrong track. We're on the wrong track. Have you seen my team's three games under 500? We're on the wrong track.
Yeah, but the Bucks are undefeated, man. The Milwaukee Bucks are undefeated still, right?
They cannot carry the sentiment for the entire state. And it's so early in the season. No, they're having a great start, no doubt. And the Milwaukee Brewers, they don't play for months, right? The Houston Astros, they won the series down. That's my understanding. Some guy got nearly as rich as the Powerball, betting some mattress guy in Houston bet $10 million on the Astros at, you know, in increments at various times. Walked away with a cool $75 million.
Whoo!
Yeah, not bad.
Well, you got to bet big to win big.
Now, I did buy some Powerball tickets. I got shut out. Nothing. So,
well, today, right? Isn't it?
Well, it's again tonight? Today. It
again.
Could be
all right, well,
$2 billion. But yeah, who's ever going to take the annuity? Give me the cash. I'll take my chances with the cash. But, Dom, I'm telling you, and I mean this in all sincerity, here is why Madison could still preserve the outcome for the state of Wisconsin. A, it's the Badger football performance, the optimism under young, new interim head coach Jim Leonard. You know, the fact that they've won 3 of 4 under Leonard, and they're perhaps soon to be bowl eligible. And Badger basketball starts tonight right here on the Civic Media Network. 7:30 tip-off. These are real games. The UW Badgers and also Marquette Golden Eagles. They're tipping off tonight, Tom. Badgers tip off at 7:30 p.m. Central Time against South Dakota, and you can stream it WRCE or WFHR, or you can do it. What's the other one, man? People keep calling me. They don't understand I'm doing a radio show right now. Don't call me during the radio show. Look at your local listings, but it'll be streaming out. I'll send a little press so people know what time the Badger game's tipping off and the Marquette game as well. Because we are Big Homer Sports Civic Media Network, man. Nothing makes me happier than to have some homers, some sports, some Badger basketball. Because that, the good feeling with the Badger starting the season on a win and the Badger football team finally back in the win column. Well, we here in Dane County, we the Badger fans, the true red, we're gonna carry the entire state over to the blue column-ish. See how we do that, Tom?
I look forward to another outstanding performance from Dane County tomorrow. Here in Milwaukee, it's going to be 51 degrees, partly cloudy. The sun's going to be out. It's going to be a beautiful day. Weather will not be a factor for keeping people out tomorrow.
Well, it's sad that the weather could determine the outcome of democracy, isn't it? Like a nice day and maybe there's a hope for democracy.
Is it any more sad than a sporting event determining the outcome of the election, hey, which could impact democracy?
I'm talking about something important here.
Yeah.
Tomorrow here in
sports
Madison.
And weather. All your sports and weather here on Devil's Advocate.
Tomorrow, the weather predicted Tuesday here in Madison, election day. 55, partly sunny. I think it's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be nice out.
844-967-2789. Got lots of guests. And maybe time for some callers as well. Let's sneak one in here, Karita.
That we're going to bring more people into the a voting mode.
Karita, we just took you on the air, man, sister. You are just talking a mile a minute. Say your thought. Goodbye, Karita. Karita, wasn't that part of?
Oh no, Karita, what happened?
I think she wanted. I think part of her comment was legalizing marijuana and the fact Democrats should run on legalizing marijuana. But you know, here in Dane County, a advisory referendum on the ballot, legalized marijuana, baby. If you want to vote for legal weed, you got to get out and vote, Dane County. You got to overvote. And of course, cheer on your Badgers. They play right here on the Civic Media Network. Tip-off, 7:30. Richland Center, Wisconsin Rapids, and Amory. That's the other one, Amory. So, you know, I'm excited about the Badgers. I'm excited the political ads, some soon will come to cessation, right? They will end, Dom.
Thankfully.
Somewhere by like 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. When you say Devil's Advocates, you've said it all.
Said it all.
I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom.
Baby, you are so money and you don't even know it.
You can do it!
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Check us out on the socials on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio, on Twitter at Devil Radio.
Dominic, we welcome back a fine guest, a congressional candidate from Wisconsin's 5th CD. He is Mike Van Summeren. Mike, welcome back, man. I understand you were just knocking some doors.
Hey, Mike.
Yep. Hey, how's it going, guys? Yep, just doing the legwork out there talking to people, making sure that they know the election's tomorrow and they get out there and vote.
Mike, which part of your district or your soon-to-be district, where are you knocking doors at today?
Well, yesterday we were up in Dodge County and Waukesha County. Now we're back in New Berlin and Brookfield.
And Mike, your opponent in this race is Scott Fitzgerald. And Scott Fitzgerald is well-known to many Wisconsinites, former majority leader here, led a lot of the malfeasance in governance that happened here, and perhaps even allowed the false Trump electors into the Wisconsin state capitol. Mike, I know your opponent. I wouldn't support your opponent, but why should I support you on this election day, sir?
Well, one, I believe that people should have the choice, and it's their voice, it's their vote, and I'm trying to earn it. Something my opponent isn't doing, as you can tell from his lack of engagement on anything. But also, I'm trying to do more than just win an election. I'm trying to, you know, in the words of Luann Byrd, trying to bring back some civility and fix a broken system. And so I've made it my mission to say, I will listen to all sides. I will represent all sides. And I will work for the middle class to rebuild and strengthen the middle class and be transparent and accountable. Things that everybody across the aisle wants to see. These are the things that I'm trying to do. And, you know, I get 2 years to prove to you that I'm the right person for the job if I win this election. And if I can't live up to what I'm saying I'm going to do, then you get to fire me in 2 years.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Mike Van Someren running for the 5th CD. Mike, good to see you again. What's the tenor on the street? Do people know there's an election, and what are they engaging you on? What topics?
Yes, people are fired up, and it's been really heartening. You know, people have really, early August, people weren't as engaged, and now people are really paying attention. And you know, I have to say, number one thing is the economy and inflation. At the same time, you know, women's rights are right up there as 1A or B. And then you've also got democracy on the ballot as well. And so that has been, you know, those three issues are the top three issues that I'm hearing about when I'm talking to people on doors.
And on the economy, is it specifically inflation that people are worried about?
Yeah, inflation is probably the top thing. And, you know, when I talk to them, I explain, you know, everybody feels like that means that we're going to a recession. And I said, actually, the numbers don't show that. Inflation seems to be leveling off. And yes, it sucks. But, you know, only one party is actually bringing up ideas and trying to tackle it. And the other party is just saying no, because they're willing to let us all suffer because they think that voters aren't smart enough to take it out on the party that's actually obstructing and not trying to fix the problem. And people get paid to be in government to fix problems, not just to sit there and say no to everything.
Well, and they threatened, Mike, to shut down the government. They threatened to impeach Biden. They're the anti-government. And I guess if that's what your philosophy is, that's what you're going to provide. But I'm not sure that that's what, you know, the people want, that what your constituents want is a government that is, in fact, reactive. And now, unfortunately, they're not only just the anti-government, they are the insurrection party. Have you heard, as Fitzgerald said, will he accept a loss if he loses?
Fitzgerald won't respond to anything. I mean, honestly, he's responded, I think, to one newspaper request. Otherwise, he hides on right-wing radio, right-wing television. He doesn't come back and do local media. There was the Journal Sentinel asked him to respond to interview requests, and he refused. The Capital Times, I believe, sent a questionnaire to both of us. He refused to fill that out. You know, he doesn't respond to media requests in the area. He doesn't come back and talk to us. You know, he was proud of the fact that in 2 years he's held 11 public meetings and 2 telephone town halls in which he claims that he's reached almost 50,000 people out of a district of 450 to 700,000, you know, depending on what numbers you use, whether it's voters or total constituents. So, you know, he's not really representing the people or coming back and talking to the people about anything. He's hanging out in D.C. and then maybe coming home on the weekends, if that.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine congressional candidate. He is Democrat Mike Van Someren. He is running for the 5th CD. Mike, we know that there was a redistricting that happened before this electoral cycle. And we know that as frustrating as the state legislative maps may seem, there's actually a little more competitiveness baked into the congressional districts. Mike, I suspect you're still facing an uphill battle, but what are the prospects? What is the estimated prospects in the 5th CD? And Mike, how do you exceed those prospects? Because we need people to turn out for you all the way up and down the ticket.
Yeah, so it's anywhere from an R plus 14 to an R plus 20 district. That being said, early voting is up, which is a very good sign for Democrats. We have been making it a point to reach across the aisle. You know, I'm running as a moderate Democrat. I'm a business person. I'm a business lawyer. I want to see businesses thrive. But at the same time, businesses that I work with and myself, we understand that business and labor are a symbiotic relationship and both can thrive at the same time. And so that's what we need to do. We need people to get out, people that are, you know, center right, that want to see things get done and understand that government is there to help solve problems and help their businesses grow so that they can pay their employees more, because good business owners want to pay their employees more. They want to take care of their employees. And those folks need to get out and vote for me, because I'm out here trying to make it easier for them to grow their business and make everybody more money and make everybody's lives a little bit better.
Fifth CD candidate Mike Van Sumeren, I would encourage people to vote for you, but here's the tough question. Should Jim Leonard be extended the head coaching job at UW? The interim title, should it be removed, sir?
Absolutely. Jimmy was a teammate of mine when I was playing on the team. So I fully support Jim, and I think he's shown that he is the man for the job.
Well, two of you should get new jobs this fall. Mike Van Sumeren, good luck to you, sir. We'll check in perhaps after the election when you are congressman-elect. Van Sumeren, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you all.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Come back with us. Our good friend Earl Ingram is next.
Let's go. You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
Malarkey. The Devil's Advocates invented malarkey.
I don't mind stealing bread from the mouths of Decadence.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Election Eve Edition, a stacked deck. A fine guest, most recently, Mike Van Sumeren. He is a Democrat running. It's an uphill fight. He needs every one of your votes in the 5th CD to hopefully defeat Scott Fitzgerald. And Dom, we got a good friend of ours. He's joined right now, Civic Media's own, WAUK's own, Earl Ingram. How you doing, Earl?
I'm doing fine, man. How you doing? How you doing, Dominic?
Earl, great to be with you once again. Happy Election Eve, brother.
Yeah, man, it's always great to join you guys, man.
Well, we can't have you join tomorrow because we need you taking a little nap, resting up for the late night. Earl,
you think I need a nap, man?
Well, because you're getting old. But, Earl, your portion of the coverage tomorrow will come from Milwaukee. It'll come from the campaign headquarters of Mandela Barnes. And we're going to have live coverage beginning at 7 o'clock. But, Earl, we're going to start checking in with you at approximately 9:25-ish. And then every 30 minutes, we'll check in with Earl at Mandela headquarters. Man, you better bring us a victory. It's much better if Mandela yeah. wins. It's a better party that way, Earl.
You know, man, you're putting me right in the middle of it. And if there's a morning, I don't want to be around. we don't want to ever have to deal with that, man. It's been a long, hard slog. Yeah. And all we want is positive news.
Now, Earl, how long have you known Mandela Barnes? It strikes me that he launched his lieutenant gubernatorial campaign on your radio show.
He launched his campaign for state rep, for state senate, and lieutenant governor all on my radio shows.
Now, Earl, I'd like to brag and tell you that Dominic and I will have Mandela Barnes tomorrow on Election Day before the polls close. But that, you know, no offense to Mandela, but that kind of pales compared to your lineup. Earl, who you got coming on the big show tomorrow?
Well, I've got Vice President Kamala Harris on at around 10:15, and she'll be followed by Governor Tony Evers at around 10:30.
That's not a half-bad 1-2 punch, Earl.
Nice, Earl. Awesome.
Now, you've had the Vice President on before. You've interviewed Kamala Harris. I got to think it's short and sweet in deference to the fact it's Election Day, and they probably have her doing a number of interviews, Earl, but did they give you a timing? How many questions do you get?
Well, not many. As you well know, I'm pretty doing that all over the nation.
Well, you're going to get more with the Vice President than either Dom or I will tomorrow. They didn't call us, Earl.
I don't know. I'm really just, to be honest with you, Crudy, I'm more excited about Governor Evers calling because, you know, as they always say, all politics are local. And I would hate to even begin to imagine what it would be like with Tim. I'm a businessman, Michaels. As the next governor.
That's tough.
That was funny, Earl. That was funny.
It is. Earl Ingram, our friend, morning host here on Civic Media. Got some big guests tomorrow. Vice President Kamala Harris and
none
of course,
of them
Tony
are
Evers.
Loud talkers like Tim Michaels, though.
No, God, no. Earl, what's your sense? You know, we heard a little bit of former President Obama, I think it was from Pennsylvania yesterday. Of course, he was here in Milwaukee, North Division High School. Earl, we were hanging out together and had a great speech, get out the vote in Milwaukee. How do you think it's going in Milwaukee, Earl?
You know, it is. I mean, people have been working night and day, man. They really have. They've been scouring the streets, and they've done everything within their power to motivate people to come out. If the people don't come out, it's not this time, because the Democrats haven't put the resources or the commitment to a ground game in place. They've done their due diligence. You know, you can't handcuff people and make them come and take them to vote.
Right.
And so, but the Democrats have done all that they can, and I think that's all you can ask, Crudy and Dom, is for them to get the resources to the places, and the rest of it is up to people. You can't.
Handcuff
them and make it come.
What's that mean, Earl? Tell the people listening, because I think you know what it means, but I'm not sure that everyone in the audience, when you talk about resourcing, what's that mean? I know it eventually means money. It's got to flow down to workers. But what do the workers do, Earl? How did they get out to vote in Milwaukee?
They have actually gone block by block, house by house. They really have, Crudy and Dom. They've done an outstanding job with mobilizing people and getting people to knock on doors and to get people who haven't voted in a long time souls to the polls with Greg Lewis and all these pastors have done their due diligence. They've organized. You know, I feel really good about the prospects. I really do. People know what's at stake, you know, and even the people that I've talked to who are still saying they're not going to vote. What do you do for populist who says, you know, 50% of this nation still doesn't vote? So, you know, all you can do is try to get people to understand that your situation is not going to change if you don't vote. We know that 100%. So, you know, 50%, as they always say, of nothing, of something is better than, you know, nothing. So, you know, I think I feel pretty good. And here's the other part of this. You know, Mandela Barnes is dead even with a two-time United States senator. Come on, man. If somebody would have told any of us that a young man, 35 years old, from Milwaukee, Central City, is dead heat with a two-time United States senator, we would all be celebrating.
Well, perhaps we will be celebrating tomorrow night, and you'll be there to bring it to us live.
Yeah.
On behalf of Civic Media, we got our good friend Earl Ingram Jr. He's going to be at the Mandela Barnes campaign victory party tomorrow night in Milwaukee, and we're hoping it is a victory party for the sake of the radio broadcast, if nothing else, Earl. Milwaukee, I know I've talked to voters in all parts of the state. I've had lots of reason to travel this summer. But, Earl, I got to be honest, I haven't spent a lot of time in Milwaukee. We've got the station in Waukesha, and I haven't been there, not like I used to, when we were right on Brady Street. So tell me, what are the issues in Milwaukee? What are the issues? If someone's knocking on the doors, Earl, what are they talking about, and what do you think resonates?
Well, what resonates more than anything else right now is the fact that we have a city that is in jeopardy of not being able to offer the services to people, homeowners and citizens, because we have a state legislature that won't allow the city to raise resources, i.e. a sales tax like other cities comparable to Milwaukee, to be able to afford policing. I mean, you know, it's one thing to say that Milwaukee is anti-police, but then to not allow the city the resources to be able to pay police officers. And even looking at it further down the road, where the pensions for police and fire are going to consume the majority of the budget in the near future, it renders our city into a helpless situation where it's not going to be able to fund, garbage pickup or snow removal or all of the things that we as taxpayers and property owners, Crudy and Dumb, pay for. And all of that is what we're looking at. Those of us who are lucid and know what's going on, that's our fear from our mayor to, even the county executive. We know that our future is in the hands of somebody who really does not care or is not focused enough on our issues. And so that's what people are really concerned about. Crime, yes. But you can't address crime if you don't have the resources to pay law enforcement to at least address the crimes after they occur. Those of us who are in the know that you're never going to be able to have enough police officers to address what is the root cause of the crime, and that's the lack of opportunity for people to live a middle-class lifestyle like they once did.
Earl Ingram, our fine guest. Earl, I hear the governor talk about shared revenue in regards to Milwaukee, and I don't know that it always resonates. I mean, there are times my eyes roll when I hear him talking about shared revenue, but effectively, as much as Republicans villainize this financial driver of the state that Milwaukee is, effectively, for every dollar in taxation that goes to Madison from Milwaukee, only about 67% of that flows back in shared revenue, in shared resources. And Earl, that is math that creates a crushing deficit that Milwaukee County and Milwaukee have to overcome. And Republicans are more than willing to vilify that community. Now, we know there's some young leaders there. There's supposed to be a reset. New mayor, Chevy Johnson. New county executive, David Crowley. Well, can they overcome Republicans' intransigence on an issue like shared revenue?
So, Crudy, the former mayor, Tom Barrett, saw that as a major issue and he could never overcome that. The former county executive, Chris Abley, these are some of the reasons why they're no longer there. They know that there's no way possible that Milwaukee County or the city of Milwaukee will be able to overcome those insurmountable odds. And again, comparable cities to Milwaukee across the nation aren't faced with that because they have a legislature that works along with them. And so, I was listening to a while back conservatives say, well, Milwaukee has to first get rid of their trolley. Or they were putting these mandates on what we need to do before the state feels like they should apparently bail the city out, which they're not doing, Crudy. As you stated, if they just give us back what we pay into the state, a state that now has a $5 billion $5 billion surplus, well, what are we talking about here? Give us back the fair share of what we sent to the state, who clearly does not need it, and we'll be able to fend for ourselves.
Earl, let's talk about Milwaukee Public Schools. I saw you speaking with the superintendent thereof, and I know he's a frequent guest on your show, Dr. Keith Posley. And he runs MPS, but Republicans from really outside of Milwaukee have every intention of breaking up MPS. This has been a constant threat. I mean, I believe Tim Michaels is advocating for it as well.
Yes.
But really, the outcome of tomorrow night's election could determine whether or not MPS continues to operate as neighborhood schools or whether it's some broken up version where everyone gets a voucher and good luck to you. Earl, that seems devastating to Milwaukee.
Not only is it devastating, Crudy, it's a recipe for disaster. None of these voucher schools are going to be able to deal with the sheer numbers, 70,000 children and their families. The last time I checked, I don't think there are enough voucher schools anywhere near Milwaukee or charter schools that will be able to take in 70,000 children. So they can talk that talk all they want to. There's no way that anybody at the state level is prepared to deal with that if it becomes a reality. it's easy to say we're going to break it up. It's another thing altogether for you to have to deal with it now. So you break up Milwaukee Public Schools, who's going to run it? Okay. Are they going to run it from Madison? Is Alberta Darling going to run it? Who is going to deal with that? And then who's going to deal with all the ancillary things that create the lack of children being able to learn? The MPS is a social service agency in addition to a public schools. So, you know, children come to school to eat, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It is a safety place for many kids. The schools are open from morning to evening in many instances because it's the only safe haven for many of the children who, as everybody knows, live in war zones.
Earl, you hear the music in the background, man. I hate to interrupt you, but we're so short on time. Earl, can't wait.
Okay.
Big show tomorrow morning. Don't forget Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tony Evers on the Earl Ingram Show. Listen on WAUK on the Civic Media app. We'll be back. More big guests on this show. Alan Minsky, Progressive Dems of America, is next. 97. Call him right now.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Election Eve edition. I want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, friend of ours, Earl Ingram Jr. As mentioned, got a couple of big guests on his big show tomorrow morning. You're not going to want to miss Earl. You can listen on the Civic Media app. Find the WAUK 540 AM channel and tune in tomorrow about 10 o'clock Central Time. First, Vice President Kamala Harris, and then Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers. That's a pretty big 1-2 punch, Dom. So I'm a little
Who's his scheduler,
be honest.
Fruity?
Better than ours, obviously. Although we got a fine guest. He joins us right now live via phone. He is Alan Minsky. Alan is, what's his role? Dom, the executive director of the Progressive Democrats of America. Alan, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, Alan.
It's great to be with you. And if folks are unfamiliar with Progressive Democrats of America, we used to be the big fish in the small pool of progressive electoral politics. We were the sole national organization to draft Bernie Sanders to run for president for the first 1.5 years of our Run Bernie Run campaign. So we successfully drafted Bernie to run as a Democrat. And things happened after that. We decided to remain a grassroots organization. Other organizations jumped into the progressive electoral pool, have higher profiles. But we are a true-to-the-core progressive Democratic operation.
Well, Alan, tomorrow is election day here in the state of Wisconsin. We had Bernie Sanders in town on Friday and a couple of days last week. Obviously, we are one of the states that everybody pays attention to. And Alan, you have made a plea. You got sort of a final plea to make, and I'm going to plug you in and let you make that plea. Alan, make a plea to the voters. It's a very important election. But in your words, sir. Why should they vote?
Well, and you're talking to me from Wisconsin. Wisconsin probably has the very single most important role to play in an election tomorrow of any state in the country. I'll explain exactly why that is in a moment. But this is an election in which the health of American democracy hinges on the result. Since the January 6th, Republican legislatures across the country, you can go to the Brennan Center and look at the list of what they have passed. Every one of these measures addressing the operation of American elections, they fall on the side of what is understood internationally to be actions that harm the operation of democracy. The Democratic Party, on the other hand, they are saying if we get 52 senators in the U.S. Senate and hold on to the majority, they will pass through a filibuster carve-out the John Lewis Voting Rights Act and the electorally related components of the For the People Act. Every one of those measures and those pieces of legislation, first of all, there's no partisan bias to them. And every one of them, organizations like Freedom House, which ranks the health of democracies around the world, sees those measures as strengthening democracy, increasing participation. So one of the parties right now is on the side of the angels of democracy, the other, Thanatos, when it comes to democracy. Now, Wisconsin, why is Wisconsin even more important than any other state in the country? As you well know, three states elected Joe Biden by an accumulative vote of about 40,000 votes: Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin. Of the three, when you pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, which we have to do, so we got to get Mandela Barnes winning this election on Tuesday for Senate from Wisconsin to be one of the 52, because you need a Manchin and Sinema-proof majority in the Senate to pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Well, Georgia and Arizona will be covered by what's called the pre-clearance regulation established in the 1965 Voting Rights Act that was undermined by the 2013 Shelby County ruling by the right-wing Supreme Court. It will reestablish it. Those two states will be covered. Of the three that are on the front lines of this battle for democracy, and there are many other states that are, but they'll be covered by pre-clearance. They're in Republican-held states. You need to have a sizable portion of the population to be a minority to have pre-clearance coverage. Wisconsin is the one that won't. So in Wisconsin, you not only have to vote for Mandela Barnes, you have to vote for the governor. You have to vote pretty much blue down the line to preserve our democracy. It's that simple. That's closing argument number two. I get to my second point in a second, if you like.
Let's just reset here quickly. Alan Minsky, Executive Director, Progressive Democrats of America. I know you have more to say on that, but I want to throw in your Common Dreams submission from last week. The inflation, the economics, right? What are your concerns, and how should Dems address the inflation?
I think they're better at it than the Republicans. Look, it's very difficult. The Democratic hand that's been dealt in these midterms is very difficult. Obviously, we cannot downplay the fact that inflation as an economic concern is vertigo-inducing for any working class or middle class family, because they don't know when the next pay raise is going to come, and they feel it very much. First of all, on this issue, the Democrats will be constitutively better than the Republicans. Have they responded to it as adequately as I would like them to? No. Bernie came through Wisconsin on Friday saying the things that need to be done. Well, every one of those things that he's advocating for will be considered by the Democrats. I think a few of them will be adopted, things like reintroducing the child tax credit, which will help families out, and also the issue of a windfall profits tax, which Biden has now endorsed, and that will never, ever get consideration from the Republicans. So they will be better than the Republicans controlling Congress, because they'll block all those measures. So they'll be better than the Republicans. And I think over time, too, you also have to throw in the fact that Donald Trump had a Republican majority for 2 years. He ran on things like rebuilding U.S. manufacturing. Remember they talked about Infrastructure Week?
They
never got there. The Democrats did it. They passed three measures that are going to relaunch U.S. manufacturing in a very real way. The CHIPS Act, the Infrastructure Act, and components of the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act, directly spark the emergence of manufacturing. And why is that important for inflation? Because at the core of this inflation are supply chain problems that stem from the pandemic and then stem from the Ukrainian war. And the way to address that is to bring back high-wage manufacturing jobs. I do have to give props to the Biden administration. They've at least got the ball rolling there. Again, nothing, nada from Republicans. And why not? People, the Republicans say they're going to do it. They won't, folks. Don't buy into don't drink their Kool-Aid. Why? Because they're committed to businesses that ultimately are always going to want the widgets that they buy, that they need to run their businesses, to be low labor and be from the globalization process that produces low-wage products. The Democrats, we're willing to say we're going to bring manufacturing back here. We're going to have high-wage jobs. And we're not going to have these supply chain problems because of it. So they're better on that.
Alan Minsky, final minute here. It goes so quick. Right-wing talk radio as a tool of the elective cycle. I'm a single-issue voter, sir. What do you think about the tool of the right?
The right wing right now, they have a ton of money behind them. People should have no illusions about that. I'm out here in California. The former Republican who's running for mayor spent $100 million of his own dollars. And they completely whitewash their issues on their TV ads. They blitz the public with it. They really stand for very little except making sure that this incredible wealth inequality that exists continues apace, that their taxes from the wealthy go lower, and that the burdens fall on the general population. And I don't think there's any solutions that they're putting forward. Now, the Democratic Party has not been responsive enough to the needs of the people, but this is my final plea to people. We as PDA, nobody lives those issues more than PDA. But we are committed and we believe that the Democratic Party can be transformed by you out there supporting democracy in Tuesday's vote.
Got to leave it there. Alan Minsky, Progressive Dems of America. Gwen Moore joins us next.